If you brought your Bibles, or you could use one that's in the back of the pew, would you find with me the Old Testament book of Proverbs? Right after the book of Psalms is the book of Proverbs, and we're going to look at the 30th proverb. The 30th proverb in the book of Proverbs. And Pastor Dan's going to be gone for 2 weeks. So for the next 2 weeks, I get to be with you. And I thought, why not do a little mini sermon series, right? Why not try to tie these two messages together and try to get the most out of that we can? So we're going to be right here in Proverbs 30, 7 and 8, in what we're going to see is the prayer of Agur. So Agur. So if you know how to say that, turn to your neighbor and say, Agur. You just spoke Hebrew, okay? So I was telling them it's not exactly how the Hebrews say it, but that's good enough for us who speak English. Agur. It's the prayer of Agur in Proverbs 30. And we're going to particularly zoom in on verses 7 and 8. And so let's look at what that prayer is. What did Agur pray? He prayed this. He said, two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. And give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. That's the prayer of Agur in Proverbs 30 to do that. Now, in Proverbs 30, if you've read the book of Proverbs, I recommend you do that. In fact, it's not a good for your daily devotions to take one proverb a day. One proverb a day keeps the devil away. So you take one proverb a day, you know, take a two or three psalms a day and one proverb a day, and you'll be in good shape for your daily devotions if you do that. But as you know, in Proverbs 30, we have the wise sayings of this man named Agur. Now, if you've read the book of Proverbs, you know that Solomon, King David's son, who succeeded him when David died, Solomon succeeded David. Solomon wrote 28 of the Proverbs that we have there, but the last two, Proverb 30, the 30th Proverb and the 31st Proverb, were attributed to two other men that we don't know very much about. One, Proverbs 30, is Agur, and then Proverbs 31 is King Lemuel. Now, there are some Bible scholars who believe that Solomon used both Agur and Lemuel as pen names, that really Solomon wrote all of the Proverbs to do that. But I think it's highly unlikely that I think these were two other men who probably were contemporaries somewhere around the time of Solomon that had these wise sayings that somehow made it in the Word of God, in the Proverbs that we have. And so we have this guy named Agur. As we think about what Agur prayed and as he did, I believe it was a different person because in the very first verse of Proverbs 30, it says that Agur is the son of a man named Jakeah. Jakeah. And so it wasn't, you know, he wasn't David, you know, he wasn't the son of David like Solomon was or anything. He was a son of Jakeah. And so I think he was a contemporary of King Saul. He was a contemporary of King Solomon. And we can assume that he was wise, but he was a very humble man. In fact, in the third verse of that 30th proverb, he talks about how humble he is. He says, I've not learned wisdom, nor have I attained the knowledge of the Holy One. He knew who he was in relation to God. And so he humbled himself before God. And really, from our standards, he was a very wise man. And we're gonna look at some of the wisdom that he had in just a little bit. But from God's standard, he knew that nobody's wiser than God. I can't be wiser than God. So this is the only time that Agur is mentioned in the Bible. The only time his father, Jakeah, is mentioned in the Bible. It's the only time we see him. They come out of obscurity. He writes this Proverbs 30, and then we never hear about him. Again, we know very little about him. But it's not as important to know who Agur was as it is for us to understand the wisdom he imparts to us in Proverbs chapter 30. So his name, you might be this Agur, that name in the Hebrew language means gatherer. So he was someone who gathered things because names sort of had different connotations back in those days when they gave people names. Agur was a gatherer, and we can assume that he gathered all these things, including these wise sayings that he wrote in this Proverbs. But of all the things that he gathered, he seems to be telling us that two things stood out as most important to him. Two things. And he was praying about these things. And so for the next 2 weeks, this Sunday and for next Sunday, we're going to be taking a look at the prayer that Agur prayed And I want you to look at it again. Just look at it again and see what he prayed. He said, two things I ask of you, Lord. Don't refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. And give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. So we're gonna break that prayer apart. And we're gonna look at the two things that Agar asked for. Agar's pursuit of these two things was a quest yet unrealized. He was praying, God, give these to me before I die. I'm still seeking these two things. And God, this is what I want in all of my life. And so he asked God to grant him these two things before he died. And he was praying that if God didn't do anything else for him, God, if I don't get anything else in life, God, if you don't do anything else for me in life, before I die, here's the two things that I want. I want you to keep falsehood and lies far from me, and don't give me poverty, don't give me riches, but give me only my daily needs. And so I want us to look at this prayer of Agar this Sunday. I want us to look at the first part of that prayer. I want us to look at what he was asking for. And then next Sunday, I want us to look at the second part of that prayer and look at what exactly he was asking for. You know, a couple of years ago, I came across one of those little books, the one that you can read in about an hour, you know, the real thin books that you just kind of flip through, and it was from a pastor and an author by the name of Jay Payleitner, and it was about this prayer of Agar. In fact, the title of his book was this, The Prayer of Agar, Ancient Wisdom for Finding Your Sweet Spot, and I liked it. That caught my attention, and I want to take his thought about the sweet spot of life. And I want to use it for these next 2 weeks in the messages we have. You understand what a sweet spot is, don't you? You know what a sweet spot is? If we were talking in business, the sweet spot is the ideal point where costs are minimized while benefits are maximized. It's the intersection between what it costs to make a product, what the customer needs, and the maximum profit that you can make. And so if you can get all those intersecting right there, that's the sweet spot in business. In sports, you know, most of the equipment you use in sports have a sweet spot, a bat, a tennis racket, or a pickleball racket, and then my favorite, a golf club. They all have sweet spots. And you know, when you hit the ball just right in that sweet spot, it goes its maximum velocity. It goes at its maximum in terms, and you're always looking for that sweet spot. Your personal career sweet spot can be illustrated by the place that intersects the stuff you like to do, the stuff someone will pay you to do, and the stuff you're good at. So if you can intersect all three of those things, that might be your career sweet spot that's there. Well, I want us to look at what God's Word has to say about how you and I can live in the sweet spot of our lives. What is the sweet spot? Where are you functioning at your maximum? Where are you pulling all of the life that you can get to the living that we have? Where is that sweet spot where you're operating the best that you can operate? And Agar had a passion to live his life to the maximum. He wanted maximum effectiveness in his life. He wanted to realize his maximum purpose. He wanted to live life to its maximum. And his passion is seen by he's saying, God, I ask only two things of you, and please give them to me before I die. I want these before I die. The New Living Translation of that verse says, oh God, I beg two favors from you. I'm begging you, God, give me these things. He was passionate about it. And there seems to be a sense of desperation to his quest. He's so passionate about these things that he wants to live a life of integrity, and he wants to live a life of contentment. And that's what we're going to be looking at for the next 2 weeks. I'm suggesting that Agar is giving you the secret to living in your sweet spot of life. It's the point where life finds its maximum happiness. It's the spot where we can live out our purpose that God put us here on earth to live, that we can accomplish here on earth what God has put us on earth to accomplish, and that's what Agar was begging God for before he died. God, I want to live in the sweet spot, and there are two things that will help keep me in the sweet spot. He wanted to live life to the max. He wanted to get all there was from living before he died. Now, I'm hoping that you want that too. I'm hoping that you want to get all the living there is out of the life that God has given you. I'm hoping that you want to live in the sweet spot of your life, that you want to live out your purpose. And so we're going to be looking at that first request today, and next Sunday we'll consider a second request. But Agar's first request is for personal integrity. So we're going to be looking today at the sweet spot of truth. The sweet spot of truth. Agar wanted to be a man who was known for his honesty. He wanted to be a man who had integrity. In what he prayed in that prayer, he said, God, I want you to keep falsehood and lies far from me. Some translations of the Bible denote that Agar was asking God not only to keep them far from him, but instead of saying keep falsehood and lies from me, some translation of the Bible says remove falsehood and lies far from me. And that's an interesting word. The actual word in the Hebrew is the word rakah in Hebrew, and it means a great distance. It means to be removed far away. In fact, that's the same Hebrew word rakah that's used in Psalm 103 and verse 12, where it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your transgressions from you. That's how far away. That's how far away he wanted falsehood and lies to be from him. He said, God, keep falsehood and lies. Remove falsehood and lies as far away from me as humanly possible that we can get. And Agar is saying that he wants God to remove these things from his life. And what I want us to see today is that finding your sweet spot in life must begin with knowing and telling the truth. Otherwise, everything you do will be worthless. Who wants to live for a lie? Who wants to be known all of their life as a liar? So I'm suggesting to us today, and I want us to really think and meditate on this and ask God to do a work in our lives, because like the video that we saw, you know you tell lies. We all tell lies. Finding your sweet spot in life has to begin with knowing and telling the truth. So how do we find and live in the sweet spot of truth? Well, consider what Agar was begging for. Keep those falsehoods and lies far from me. And living in your sweet spot is not a matter of what you possess. Some people say, well, if I just had a better car, if I just had a bigger house, if I just had more money in the bank, if I just had some more possessions, you know, that I'd be living in the sweet spot. That'd be really living high. I'd really be able to be on my way then to do that. But life is not about your possessions. We're going to talk about those next Sunday, all right? Before we can be able to talk about that, I want you to know that life is much more than just the possessions that we have. If we want to live a life that reaches its maximum, then we have to have a life of integrity and we have to live in the truth. We have to live a life of truth. So the first point, and it's up there on the screen, I want to say to you that living in your sweet spot begins with a desire to know and to speak the truth and to tell the truth. You say, how hard is that? You know, every time I think about knowing the truth, I remember what Pilate asked Jesus in John chapter 18 and verse 38. You remember that? After questioning Jesus said to Pilate, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. That's what Jesus said. And then Pilate asked that famous question that I think a lot of us are asking today. Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? You ever ask yourself that question in the world that we live in today? Well, who's telling the truth? Where is the truth? Where is the truth to be found? That's our problem today, too. What is truth? How can we know who's telling us the truth? And it seems that we can't trust some of what we were taught in school. In fact, I was doing some research, and it says that where children learn to lie is from their parents, because their parents are lying to them all the time. We can't trust what the media reports. Who's telling us the truth? You turn to one channel, they say one thing. You turn to another channel, and they say something else. Well, where's the truth? Falsehood and lies are everywhere we turn. How can we know the truth? Like Pilate, we're saying, what is truth? I think that's why Agar was praying for God's help. He was praying, God, before I die, could you keep falsehood and lies far from me? Could you help me know the truth? Could you help me live a life of integrity where I'm walking in the truth and I know what the truth is? You know, it's almost as if he's saying, God, I can't always tell who's telling me a lie. I can't always tell who's telling me the truth. So God, would you yourself keep falsehood and lies far away from me? He had a desire, a deep desire in his life to know and to speak only that which was true and honest. And I hope you today, that you come away from this message today having made a commitment and having made that same desire your desire to say, God, I want to walk with integrity. I want to live in truth. I want to know the truth, and I want to speak the truth. I want to be known for my integrity and my honesty. I hope that's a commitment that you'll make today. And if you desire to know and speak the truth, then there's just a couple of things that I think we gotta be able to look at. Where are we going to find the truth? And I would suggest to you that if you want to know and speak the truth, we have to use God's word as our standard. God's word has to be our standard. You know, in Proverbs 30, again, the wisdom of Agur there, in verse 5, he said this, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Agur knew where to get truth. He knew to go to God for truth. He knew to ask God for truth. God, would you give me this before I die? God, I want to know the truth. Why, you know, why did he want to know the truth? Because he wanted to live a life of integrity. He had a desire to be a man of honesty. Now, we could spend the rest of our time looking at verses in the Bible that tell us that God's word is the only reliable source of truth. But I just want to point out a couple of things that are said in the Bible. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John chapter 17 and verse 17 that the Father would sanctify them by the truth. That's what Jesus prayed for his disciples. Lord, would you sanctify them by the truth? And then he added this insight, your word is truth. That's what Jesus said. Paul admonished his protege in the ministry, young Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 15. He said this, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of what? Truth. It's the word of truth. King David, he prayed in Psalm 119 and verse 43, never take your word of truth from my mouth. David had that desire too. Over and over again, in fact, you can do a word study yourself and look in the Bible. Over and over again, the Bible is referred to as the word of truth. It's the truth of God's word, and in God's word, we can find the truth. And God's word has to be our standard. I can't tell you how important it is to use God's word as your filter of truth. When you hear something and the desire to know whether or not it's true or not, run it through the filter of what God says about it. We may not be able to tell whether or not someone is lying to us, whether or not someone is telling us the truth about something that happened. And when that happens, we can always pray and we can say, God, would you keep falsehood and lies far from me? God, would you help me? I don't know what the truth is. I'm looking in your word for the truth. I'm using your word as a filter for truth. God, but God, would you help me to know what the truth is? Because I can't always tell. I want you to look at this illustration that I have here about using God's word as a standard or a filter for truth. You know, we take all the chaotic things that we get from the world and even our own emotions, and we put them through the filter of God's word. And I love what Psalm 12 and verse 6 says. It says, the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. You want to know what's right and wrong. You want to know what's moral and immoral. You run it through the filter of God's word and let God's word speak truth to your life. Use it as the standard of truth. People want to know whether or not homosexuality is an alternate lifestyle that God created for some people. Don't listen to what other people say about it. Go to God's word and believe what God's word says about it. People want to know if it's true that life begins at conception. Or is that just some fallacy? Don't listen to what other people say about it. Go to what God's word and see what God's word says about it. The Bible has a lot to say about many things we grapple with today. The problem is that most people, even believers, most of us are not using God's word to discover what the truth is. We're listening to all these outside influences. And of course, there are many things the Bible doesn't address directly that we confront in our world, but most of the things that we want to know about, right and wrong, moral and immoral, they're going to be covered in God's word. And if they're not covered in God's word directly, they certainly are principles in God's word that guide us toward the truth. And I want to tell you, truth is not relative. I heard people say, well, that's true for you, but it's not true for me. No, that's not the way truth works. Truth is always true. It's true to everybody. It's always true and always will be true. What is true will always stay true. It doesn't rest. Truth doesn't rest in what we think. Truth doesn't rest in what we believe. What we believe rests in what is true. And we find truth in God's word. And that's why we need a standard. We can't be running everywhere to say, what is truth? What is truth? And is it true over there? And it doesn't say it's true over there. God's word is our standard. As believers, God's word is our standard. And we want to know what's truth. We go to God's word. We study, like Paul told Timothy, to show ourselves approved to God. We look at the word of truth and see what God's word says about it. I suspect that most people seldom consider what God says. And I encourage you to use God's word as your standard for truth. When you can't seem to find something in God's word, then you can always go to your knees and you can pray, God, would you keep falsehood and lies far from me, like Agar did. It's a wise thing to do. He wanted to live a life of integrity. He wanted to know what was true. He wanted to be able to speak the truth. Use God's word as your standard. And there's another thing that I want to say right here. You guys are getting me all worked up about this. So I want to say something else. You use God's word as your standard, and if you desire to know and speak the truth, don't lie. Isn't that simple? Don't lie. Agar prayed, keep falsehood and lies from me. Or as I mentioned before, he prayed, remove lies far from me. He could have been saying, God, I know lies are already there. I know I'm already a liar. I know I'm already telling lies. Would you keep lies from my lips? Don't let me tell a lie. I don't want to tell a lie. Remove them far away from me. Hey, isn't that one of the Ten Commandments? Don't lie. That's one of God's top 10. Don't lie. Studies tell us that the average person admits to telling one or two lies per day, and most people average 11 lies per week. I don't know where they get these studies, and people were telling them the truth when they told them these studies, but that's what it says. But you know, if you tell an average of 11 lies per week, I mean, you know more than one person in your life, that translates to the average person being lied to 200 times a day. Somebody's lying to you 200 times a day on the average, give or take a few lies. Now, granted, there's varying degrees of lies, right? I mean, not all lies are malicious, hurtful, consequential, you know, type of lies. Most of our lying is not intended to hurt someone else. I'm pretty sure some of you lied to me this morning when you said you're looking pretty good. So I know there's liars in this church. I appreciate the sentiment, but you're not keeping lies far from you. You know, if you're not careful with your words, lying can become a habit with you. Ooh, it got quiet, didn't it? Lying can be a habit. You will lie to cover your mistakes. You will lie to gain more social standing. You will lie to make yourself look better in the eyes of others. You will lie on your tax forms. And even worst of all of those lies, you'll begin to believe your own lies. And we need help. We need to speak the truth in love, right? I mean, when we speak the truth, we need to, you know, we need to speak the truth in love, but we'll never live in the sweet spot if people can't trust what we say or if they don't see the truth being lived out in our lives. So finding your sweet spot begins when you have that desire like Agar had. Before I die, God, would you just grant me this? I want to know and speak the truth. Keep falsehood and lies far from you. There's a second thing. Are you listening faster? Okay, how much time? We got time? Second thing. Living in your sweet spot requires a decision to distance yourself from lies. See, Agar's desire led him to make a decision. He desired it, And so he said, hey, because this is my desire, some things are going to have to change about my life. I'm going to have to make some decisions about my life. He desired and decided that he was going to live far away from falsehood and lies as he humanly could. He decided to live a life of integrity and to be known for his honesty. And here's the interesting thing. Falsehood and lies will distance you from God and other people, while falsehood and lies, when they're at a distance from you, when they're far away from you, you are closer to God and other people. When you live a life of integrity and you're honest, you're closer to God and you're closer to other people. But when you lie, you're further from God and you're further from other people too. That's why Agar was praying, God, keep these far away from me. He made a decision. He said, God, I want to be close to you, and God, I want to be close to other people. And so he made a decision. He said, I'm going to live a life of honesty, and you should decide to keep falsehood and lies far from you. And I'll tell you why you ought to do that. First of all, because God hates liars. You say, God doesn't hate anything. Yeah, he hates liars. That's what the Bible says. Remember I said, go to the Bible for your truth? And the truth is, God hates liars. Yeah, I said it. He hates them. He hates a lying tongue, Proverbs 6 and verse 17. And God hates a false witness in Proverbs 6, verse 19. Now, I know that every one of us has lied, but when your life is built on falsehood or you are in the habit of constantly lying, I want you to know that you're far away from God. God hates that. He hates that about your life. He hates those lies. In fact, in Revelation 21, verse 8, it tells us that all liars will not be found in heaven. Right there with the immoral and the murderers and everything, all liars will not be found in heaven. And what I take that to mean is that people who don't do something about their lying tongue, people who don't do something about their lying heart, or as the song says, your lying eyes, if you don't do something about that and you remain in your lies, the Bible says you're not going to heaven. Revelation 21, 8, look it up. What I take that to mean is if you don't repent of that, if you don't turn away from that, if you don't give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and you stay in your lies, you're not going to heaven. You should decide to keep falsehood and lies far away from you, not because not only will it distance you from God, take you far away from God, but you should distance yourself because it'll take you away from others. They will keep you from being close to those that you love. In any relationship, nothing hurts more than when someone's lying to you. Lying breaks trust. Lying is manipulative. Lying creates emotional distance. And when you tell lies or you are living a lie, you are robbing yourself and others of the relational intimacy that you could have with them because you're lying to them. That's not living in the sweet spot. That's living far away from that. You're distancing yourself from others, and you're distancing yourself from God. The sweet spot of life is a place where truth and joy are shared between you and God and others. And that's the kind of life that God created you to live, and you'll never be truly happy or satisfied until you're living close to God and you're living close to other people. That's the sweet spot of life. And if you want to live close to God and you want to live close to other people, don't lie. Be honest. Be a person of integrity. Don't tell lies to God. Don't tell lies to other. But there's one other thing. Worst of all, don't tell lies to yourself. You'll believe your own lies. You'll never find your sweet spot until you decide to get honest with God, others, and yourself. And your honesty, your integrity can only be decided by you. You're the only one that can make that decision to say, I'm not going to lie. Do you desire to live a life of integrity like Agar did? Will you make a decision today to say that God, as humanly possible, God, before I die, would you remove falsehood and lies far away from me? That was one last thing. If you want to live in the sweet spot of your life, it involves a discipline to ensure your integrity. You have to discipline yourself. You have to have a desire. You have to make a decision, and then you have to have the discipline to follow through. Isn't that the way life is? Just about everything we do, you have to have discipline. Proverbs 30 and verse 8 says, keep. I like that word, keep. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. And as I stated earlier, some translations of the Bible use the word remove. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. And the idea is that falsehood and lies are already prominent in my life. I already know they're there. God, I already know I'm a liar. I already know that I've misrepresented myself. I've misrepresented others. I've borne false witness. God, I know I'm guilty. I've done it. Would you remove them from me? And would you keep them away? God, take them away and never bring them back. Keep me as far away from falsehood and lies as I humanly possibly can be in my life. Now, if you desire that and you've decided that and you say, how can I discipline myself to keep myself far away from lies? Let me tell you, there's three things that you can do. I don't know why things keep coming in three, but they do. They're easy to remember. Here's the first step. You want to keep falsehood and lies from you? The first step would be to confess and repent of the sin of lying. Go ahead, confess it to God. God already knows you're a liar. He already knows that. He already knows that you've lied to him. He already knows that you've lied to others. And goodness gracious, he knows that you've lied to yourself too. Why don't you just admit it to God? And when you confess, that word confess means to agree with God. God, I agree with you. This is wrong. This is sin. It's one of your top 10. God, I'm a liar and I'm confessing it before you right now. But not just confess it. You also have to turn away from it. You have to repent. You have to say, God, I'm making a decision today. God is my witness. God, before I die, would you remove falsehood and lies far away from me? God, I want to live in the sweet spot of life. I want to be honest with you. I want to be honest with others. I want to be honest with myself. I want to live in the sweet spot of life and get as much out of life that I possibly can. You know, repentance is asking for forgiveness. It's receiving God's forgiveness, believing that God will actually forgive you when you ask him. I mean, he says he will. And accepting that forgiveness and saying, God, I take you at your word. I believe you will. That's why I love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we need to do. If you're saying, hey, I'm making a decision, I have that desire to live a life of integrity, and I'm making a decision to do it now, what do I need to do? Well, the first step right here, right now, today, you confess and repent and say, God, I'm a sinner, no more. I'm turning away. I'm going to go your way. Does that mean you'll never tell a lie? I'd be lying if I told you that was true. You probably will, but every time you tell a lie, why don't you just stop and confess and repent? Do it while it's right there. As soon as you know when you lie. Why don't you just God hears our silent prayers, right? Why don't you just, you tell like, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to do that. I want to live as far away from falsehood and lies as I possibly can. If you can do that. Confession and repentance are the disciplines that you need to develop in your life. Confession breaks down the pride in our lives, and it leads us to humble ourselves before God. And confession and repentance are disciplines that you should practice every day in your communication with God. And here's the second thing you need to do. The second thing to keep falsehood and lies far from you is to develop a system of accountability. Now, Agar didn't tell us how he did it, but he prayed, and I think he probably had to do this same thing. He confessed and repented of his sin. And I think he had a system of accountability. I think that's how God works. God still works today like he worked, you know, before and everything that he's doing. You know, fellowshipping with other believers could help you remain accountable. We talk about going to church, being a part of a small group, a support group in terms that we have. That helps make you accountable in your life. Having a mentor or someone to disciple you is a great way to build accountability in your life. Give those that you love and those that you trust the permission to ask you the hard questions at any time and anywhere. And that's another way to remain accountable. I give people permission to question me. Confession and repentance, accountability, and then there's a third step. That is, you need to continue to learn and grow in your Christian faith. Don't stop. You know, our world is constantly changing, and to maintain integrity, you need to be able to keep up with the new ways that you can meet the challenges that society's throwing at you. It seems that there are new ways of twisting the truth, and there are new lies that are being told to us every day in every kind of way. And we need to stay current in our ability to speak the truth in love to a world that is being deceived by the father of all lies, and that's Satan himself. It's also important to develop the discipline of attending church, being a part of a small group, studying your Bible, finding a system of accountability where you are growing and learning. That's why we call it a discipline. It's not always easy to do. It costs us something to do it. It costs us some time, costs us some study, costs us some sweat, costs us some discomfort at times, you know, within our life. But we need to develop a system of accountability to make this a discipline in our life. Finding your sweet spot in life will require you to become and remain a man or a woman of integrity. And I think a good place to begin is by praying another prayer, not just the prayer of Agar, where he begged God, keep falsehood and lies far from me. But I like what David prayed in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. You can pray this prayer. You can say, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Would you pray with me? God, help us to find and live in the sweet spot of life, the sweet spot that Agar desired. Give us courage to confront falsehood and lies in the world, falsehood and lies in others, and falsehood and lies even in ourselves. We confess our sin of lying to you. We confess the sin of lying to others. And we ask that you remove our sins far from us. We ask for your power to discipline ourselves to live a life of integrity before you and before others. And in Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.